The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the century of lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Harm Reduction International recently released the new edition of one of its flagship publications, The Death Penalty for Drug Offenses, Global Overview 2022. I spoke about the report recently with the lead author of the report, Ajeng Larasati, human rights lead at HRI.
My name is Ajeng Larasati. I'm the human rights lead at Harm Reduction International. I am originally from Indonesia, and I'm currently working and living in the UK.
Ajeng, thank you so much for being on Zoom with me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you're one of the co-authors of The Death Penalty for Drug Offenses, Global Overview 2022, this new report from HRI, just been released. I want to ask you, and obviously that's why I have you here, I want to ask you about it. Before we do that, can I ask you to tell us a little about Harm Reduction International?
So Harm Reduction International is an international NGO working towards a world in which drug policies uphold dignity, health, and rights. And we do it by using data and advocacy to promote harm reduction and drug policy reform. And we also show how rights-based evidence-informed responses to drugs contribute to healthier, safer societies, and why investing in harm reduction makes sense. In terms of origin, HRI traces its origins to the first international conference on the reduction of drug-related harm back in the 90s, I think 1990. And the success of that conference led to its establishment as an annual event. And in 1996, our founder, Patrick O'Hare, registered the International Harm Reduction Association, which was our name before it changed to Harm Reduction International in 2016. And within HRI, we have four main focuses: drugs and health, drugs and human rights, funding for harm reduction, and conference and events. And I am leading the team that focuses on human rights impact of drug control.
Now, the report you just released, Death Penalty for Drug Offenses, Global Overview 2022. What all did you find?
Well, it's sad to say this, but 2022 was the worst year we monitored since at least 2017. And it confirms the reversal of a positive trend that was starting to take shape. Some of the key findings are, like, as of 2022, 35 countries retained death penalty for drug offenses. And these figures remain mostly the same for the past years. The lack of changes in these number actually tells us something. Retentionist countries appears to stronghold as they resist the global trends of total abolition of the death penalty, because the global trend for the abolition of death penalty in general is that there are more and more countries that abolish death penalty, but not for drug offenses. So they are really strongholds in resisting the global trends, basically. And we also saw an increase in confirmed executions. At least 285 executions were confirmed to take place in six countries. And this is actually two countries more compared to last year, compared to 2021. And in parallel, the number of confirmed death sentences were also on the rise, with at least 303 death sentences recorded in 18 countries. And this is also two countries more compared to 2021. And this marks 28% increase from 2021. I guess one thing that I need to say about these numbers is that transparency remains a big obstacle in getting the most accurate pictures on both executions and death sentences. So the numbers that I just mentioned and the numbers that you will find on the report itself we need to treat that with caution, because these are just the known confirmed numbers, which means there could be a lot more executions and sentences that we don't know, because some countries categorize death penalty for drug offenses, or like death penalty in general, as a state secrecy. So they do not provide information to the public widely. And the Global Overview 2022 also found another persistent issue, which is the disproportionate impact on the most vulnerable in society and in the drug market. For example, in Iran, 40% of those executed for drug offenses identified as Baluchi, and this is one of the ethnic groups. Baluchi as an ethnic group represents only around 2% of the total population. So you can already imagine how disproportionately impacted the Baluchis are when it comes to death penalty for drug offenses. And this disproportionate impact on the most vulnerable groups is a direct, inevitable result of the way in which drug laws are designed and applied. Leaving people from certain socioeconomic background, ethnicity, drug use and or drug dependency, mental and or intellectual disabilities more vulnerable to be sentenced to death. Also, 2022 saw some efforts actually in the retentionist countries to limit the application for the death penalty for drug offenses. But at the same time, we also saw some attempts to reinstate the death penalty for drug offenses. I guess in summary, more efforts need to be made to ensure that executions and sentences do not go unnoticed and without consequences. We are concerned about the failure of international community to take meaningful actions against such blatant violations of the international standards. And the silence of fellow states, member states, countries, basically, as well as leading UN agencies, particularly UNODC, in the face of such grave developments, risks being misconstrued as tolerance. And it jeopardizes the fragile progress towards full abolition of the death penalty. So, on this Global Overview 2022, our call is for all of these entities to take urgent and concerted action against these developments, be them at the political, financial, or diplomatic level. Those are like the key stats, the key trends, and our asks, basically, from the Global Overview this year.
Wow. So now, just so I'm clear, these are specifically the judicially applied death sentences. Yeah, that so the report wouldn't cover the extrajudicial killings that might go on.
Okay. Yes, this is the judicial one. Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the protection of the right to life in general, which includes like the death penalty as well as the extrajudicial killings, the situation doesn't get any better as well. We are in contact with partners in some of these countries, and we kept hearing, we kept getting information from them of the extrajudicial killings that took place in their countries, and it's not getting better, although we don't have like a numbers, like an exact numbers as of now.
I'm curious, how does your work get How does your work get received at bodies like the Commission for Narcotic Drugs? You're one of the NGOs that's active there in the in these proceedings, and I know that human rights is one of the I was thinking this as you were speaking. It's one of the, I mean, obviously death penalty isn't the only human rights concern, but it is a constant concern, and seems to be one of the flashpoints, one of the points of contention. The basic argument that nations are having, that some seem to argue that the international drug control treaties should be prime and above other considerations, while other nations more reasonably argue that human rights is a basic tenet, and that these international treaties should be administered with that, you know, with that in mind, that you need to have that human rights lens to view any of these treaties. How does your work get received at places like CND? Do you get much support from the national delegations? What's it like there?
That's actually a very good question, though, because we know that the CND is the place to talk about drugs, and it's not it's not an automatic thing to talk about human rights in the drug arena, right? But now we see more and more conversations about human rights at the CND. It is not to the level that we expect as a civil society, of course, but it's getting better. There are more conversations on human rights. And as you said, even when it comes to human rights and drug policy, there are already thousands of issues there. Right to health, access to harm reduction, and so on and so forth. Death penalty in particular is a small part of that conversation. There is going concerns from what we call as friendly states, mostly the countries that has abolished the death penalty for drug offenses. But we also noticed that at the CND, the retentionist countries are actually also getting stronger, in a sense that they are more vocal and they are really defending their policies that apply death penalty for drug offenses by saying that it is their right to decide what is best for the country. And many of them are also citing non-evidence-based information about how many people died every day or like every year because of drugs, so on and so forth. So in summary, there is a growing concern. It's not up to the level that we wanted. We saw more and more countries raising the issue of death penalty and calling the retentionist countries to abolish the death penalty. And these are the countries that also advocate for a human rights, health-based approach to drug policy. We still think that, although it's not to the level that we wanted, we still think that it is important to do the advocacy on this level. That's also what we will continue doing in the future as well.
This is an interview with Ajeng Larasati, human rights lead at Harm Reduction International and one of the co-authors of HRI's new report, The Death Penalty for Drug Offenses, Global Overview 2022. We'll have more in a moment. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Are there any hopeful signs from this? The numbers went up, which is unfortunate. Are there any hopeful signs out of this year's report?
Well, in terms of, it's hard to say it as a hopeful sign because, as I say, the retentionist countries are really strong holdings their position, but we noticed that, for example, there are efforts to limit the application of death penalty for drug offenses. My own country, for example, last year we enacted a new penal code which introduced the concept of probation for people sentenced to death. Which basically says that if you are sentenced to death, and within 10 years you are not executed and you are showing a good behavior and you are remorseful, then there is a possibility for your death sentence to be revoked, to be changed to life imprisonment. Of course, it's not ideal. We don't want a life imprisonment. Because it's also an extreme punishment. But if the goal is to prevent someone from being executed, that's already one step ahead. We hear from the Malaysian counterparts as well that they are working on a reform on the mandatory death sentences. They have been doing the government has been doing studies on reforming their laws on death penalty, basically trying to move away from mandatory death penalty for years now. And hopefully this year they will adopt the new amendment that will remove mandatory death sentences. Although it also doesn't solve the problem, because usually when countries moved from death penalty, they move to life imprisonment, which is also an extreme punishment. As I mentioned, so that's the hopeful, not so hopeful informations that we got so far.
So now, let's switch to something. HRI does a lot of stuff. There's a report on the global state of harm reduction. That's a different team, but that does that. But could you tell me a bit about that?
Yes, definitely. So within our organization, we have three flagship publications, and these are publications that we have been doing for more than decades. Many of these publications started back in 2007, 2009, 2008, something like that. So it's been more than a decade. One is the Global Overview on the Death Penalty for Drugs, which we just discussed. Then we also have the funding landscape for harm reduction, where we provide analysis on the amount and nature of financial support for harm reduction from both international donors as well as national governments. And on that publication, we also highlight the funding gap for harm reduction. The other one is the global state of harm reduction. And the global state of harm reduction is the only report to provide an independent analysis of the state of harm reduction in the world. The report is a coordinated effort, basically, across practitioners, academics, advocates, and activists. And it includes essential contributions of network of people who use drugs and service provider. The report maps global data and responses to drug use HIV and viral hepatitis. And it has become a quote unquote the go-to source on global harm reduction developments for researchers and advocates in the harm reduction sector and beyond. As of 2022, there are 92 countries that have needle and syringe programs. 87 countries offer opioid agonist therapy. 16 countries have drug consumption rooms, and 105 countries support harm reduction in their national policy. In terms of funding for harm reduction, it is still very minimum. It is only 5% of the level required in low and middle income countries. And in terms of hepatitis C, the global state of harm reduction found that almost 4 in 10 people who inject drugs have active hepatitis C. And more information can be found on our website as well, where you'll find more information on that, because we also have like different chapters for each of the regions. So you will have a better sense of what it looks like, how it is in different regions, across regions, and make comparison basically from those regions.
But another question too. You have an event coming up in, oh my gosh, it's like really soon, your 2023 Harm Reduction International Conference. When is that? Tell me about that.
It is in 3 weeks. It is very soon. The Harm Reduction International Conference, the conference is every 2 years, and usually over 1,000 international delegates participate at the conference. And this includes community representatives, civil society, government actors, UN agencies, health professionals, service providers, so on and so forth. And it has been held in almost every region of the world. And this year, the Harm Reduction International Conference 2023 will be held in Melbourne, Australia, on the 16th to 19th of April. The theme for the conference is Strength in Solidarity, and hopefully it will highlight the importance of our strength as people, as community, and as a global movement in sticking together and advocating for human rights, evidence, health-based, evidence-based approach to drug policy. And over the 4 days, there will be presentations, workshops, films, networking events, and more. For this year, HRI is hosting the conference together with partner organizations. And for the first time ever, two of our partner organizations are led by and for people who use drugs. And across all educational activities and policy work in the sector, the partners are AIVL, ASHM, HRFIC, and INHSU, INHSU. They all seek to advocate for safe and equitable care, free of stigma and discrimination for people with HIV and viral hepatitis and people who use drugs. And the highlight, this year's lineup includes Helen Clark, the former Prime Minister of New Zealand. We also got former President of South Africa and Mongolia coming into the conference. Rachel Stephen Smith, who is the Minister for Health, Families and Community Services and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs in the Australian Capital Territory, will also be there. And of course, we will have community leaders and Indigenous communities, hopefully from around the world, participating at the conference. Are you going to be there then?
I just don't travel. But if you have an online component, I may show up. How do people find? Give me your website. How are people supposed? Let people know how to find this stuff.
It's hr23.hri.global. And yes, we do have the virtual elements of the conference. The virtual elements, it will include the opening and closing ceremonies, daily plenary, will be live streamed and will be on demand as well. There will be six sessions for every day that you can join. There will also be virtual only sessions from Monday to Wednesday. And there will be access to films that will be shown at the film festival as well. So, yeah, if you cannot be there in person, please do consider joining us virtually.
That is so brilliant. I know you've HRI has done some virtual stuff in the last few years with your Constellations events. Mm-hmm. And it is so important building community. I understand the importance of personal networking. It really is a thing. And so going to an in-person thing, there really is something about that. It really is a special thing. But the information and the ideas and perspectives, it's so vital for these to get out there into the world and people who just can't travel for whatever reason. It is so cool that you're including the virtual component. I think it's excellent. I think it's brilliant. I am so glad. I'm so glad.
Thank
you're doing
you so
that.
Much. I'll make sure the conference teams hear this as well. It's their hard work. It's not as easy as I thought it would be because I have no experience in conducting a conference, let alone a conference in a hybrid style, but they are doing their best. The conference team here. Thanks so much.
How can people contribute to this abolitionist movement? People in the U.S., people internationally.
Well, first of all, I guess it would be. I understand that people who share concern on this issue also have different level of information, different level of knowledge. The first to do is always as easy as trying to read the information available, read the publications, and basically educate ourselves. And that's also a critical step before we can contribute to any movement, I guess, to get ourselves understand what the issue is. And then the second one is to continue talking about it, raise about it in any possible occasion.
That was my interview with Ajeng Larasati, human rights lead at Harm Reduction International and one of the co-authors of HRI's new report, The Death Penalty for Drug Offenses, Global Overview 2022. You can find that report, along with a lot of other great resources, at HRI's website, which is hri.global. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio and syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's AudioPort service. Please support your local community radio station. Become a member or become a volunteer. Find this edition of Century along with an archive of past shows at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed
war on
drugs.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.